Thank you, Marion. Good morning. Let's take our green book and turn to number 8. We are people on a journey. The great wedding banquet, and we're already experiencing it here. We do it joyfully, but not as people without pain. We do it joyfully with all our pains and struggles. We come to the banquet as we are, as a small part of that big family of God. Come, let us stand and sing of who we are and what we're doing here.
Thank you.
Let's switch books. We'll take the purple one. Sing the story, Calm Me, Lord. It is a prayer. Jesus was one who could calm the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Metaphorically, these storms are how we experience life and the twists and turns of our life sometimes, whether alone or in our family or community. But storms are hard to deal with. This song is a prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ calm us, still the storm in us, and keep us from harm and enfold us in his peace. Let us pray in this song.
I hope that the words of that song resonate with you throughout this day and this week and this time in our world. Thank you, Ken. Good morning and welcome to each of you to this morning's worship service. As you can see from the visuals here in the sanctuary, we are in another time on our church calendar, and this is the second Sunday of Lent. The theme title for this six weeks is Seeking God's Ways. The visual of the maps and compass are symbols of direction finding, keeping on track, seeking God's ways. You may have already seen the visuals at the back of the foyer and here at the front that help represent this Sunday's theme. Last Sunday, you saw a stone that looked like a loaf of bread, but was not, and also a loaf of bread, symbolizing the temptations of Jesus. This Sunday, the theme focuses on the verses in Luke 13, 31 to 35, and on the image of Jesus as the mother hen gathering her chicks. Perhaps you have purposely decided to add something or delete something from your life during this time of Lent. Perhaps you have chosen to have more quiet time of reflection, or another way of marking this time before Easter. Lent is a time to turn and recommit to God's path. Our focus statement for this week is, and you'll see it printed in your bulletin, as we seek God's way, We move from a place where fear dictates our actions to a space where our response to others is guided by compassion. My hope is that something that is said or sung this morning will be meaningful for you and give you support for your journey this next week. Welcome to each one of you again as we continue to worship together. We use the word seek a lot, so I had to look it up because I thought, I'm sure it's what I think it is, but I just had to use it because in the Bible we hear seek a lot. And it's attempting to find. So we are all attempting. We are all seeking. Please join me together in the call to worship this morning, and we'll read it as printed. Together we seek the way of God. We come to ask, whom shall we fear? We come to be reminded of God's power and to be led more deeply into God's love. We long to gather under the wings of Christ as a mother hen and to learn the holy way of compassion. Let's pray together. God, you are our light for the path ahead. You are the stronghold of our life. Of whom shall we be afraid? We seek a heart of curiosity. We seek an eye for beauty. Grounded in you, sheltered by your wings, you reveal a world unfolding in layers of love. Though we know that sometimes the journey ahead of is not always easy, we look for strength in your way of love and compassion. Continue to gather us and release us, O God, as we follow the path. Amen.
Let's take our blue book and we'll turn to the song Holy, 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 120. Holy, Holy, Holy. It's a paraphrase of Revelations 4.
Thank you.
Well, we'll flip over to 297. Jesus came, the heavens adoring. If you're not paying attention, Jesus came and he thought, wow, those are awesome heavens. But it's actually the other way. It's the heavens were adoring Jesus. So let's have to pay attention here. Okay, this song is a declaration of who Jesus is and what he is doing in our midst. And in stanza 5, what he will do when he returns. It describes the difference Jesus has and continues to make. And we want to worship with Alleluia, Alleluia.
During this Lenten series, there are a few more things that happen in our service, and one of them is this responsive reading, and later on, a prayer of confession. Please join me in the responsive reading. Your ways, O God, are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We seek God's ways. Lord, move us from fearful responses into the light of your compassion.
Don't be afraid, 105 in the Green Book.
Just remain seated.
I'm
This is the time in our service where you can bring your thoughts here and things that you're thinking about and things that are happening in your life. Just a few things that I want to mention first off. As you'll notice, Lois is not here today, and she has been attending the AGMs this weekend, and so she's not here. So at the back, when you came in, you probably noticed some jars of some stuff on the tables in there. So we've made some soup. There are three different kinds there that you can choose from for a donation. And the money from this donation will be going to MCC for their Ukraine support that they do, that they have continued to do in Ukraine. So there's bread and soup. And many times this week on different things, I have seen cauldrons of soup and food being made for people in Poland and in different parts of Ukraine. So as you eat your bread and soup today, I want you to think about that. Now, the interesting thing that I didn't know, the beet borscht is the Ukrainian borscht. And Marcia said, if it has cabbage, it's Russian. So we have Ukrainian and Russian borscht. And in between, there's something else. There's another kind. There's chicken rice soup. So it's kind of interesting. Anyways, yeah. I want to thank those people who helped with chopping and with tasting and stirring and sautéing and whatever we did yesterday to make that soup. Thank you for all of you for helping and contributing in that way. John. Our speaker today is John Pfeiffer, and he's going to come up here right now and say a little bit about himself because he gave me a list and I forgot all of the things. So here you go.
I even made a list so I won't forget. We have been living here in Swift Current for about 13 years. I think that's about 13, thereabouts. I have been working at the comp. This is my 12th year working at the high school. My wife has been now 10 years, 11 years at the Salvation Army. She is kind of the office manager there. She does accounting, she does HR, she answers the phone, she does counseling. Anything that needs to be done is kind of what she does. I am, again, at the high school. I'm the supervisor of rentals and purchasing. A large part of my job is the addendum on my contract and other general duties as assigned. So I do, again, a little bit of everything. We have two children. Our oldest is Shelby. She works for SARM in Regina. She lives in Moose Jaw with her husband, Aaron. And our grandson, Elliot, who is almost two. And I'll stop there, otherwise I won't be able to stop talking about my grandson. Our youngest daughter, Danica, lives in Winnipeg. She is an assistant manager at a clothing store. And she actually attends your sister church, Bethel. And she is on the board there, and she is worship leader there, and quite involved in the church. And we are very proud of our children, and thankful that they are living lives that they're enjoying, and find fulfillment in that.
Just remember to pay attention to what's in the blocked out square in your bulletin there of things to pray for. Reminders each week for that as well. Also on the back are more opportunities for you, and the women are still, or people, whoever wants to, are tying quilts. And I think to date, I heard the number 75 have been completed. So if you want to participate in that, that's till the end of March on Tuesdays. And pay attention to the other opportunities during this Lenten season that are listed as well. So I'm just drawing your attention to the Lenten prayer of confession, which is printed in your bulletin. We will be using that at the end of our congregation prayer, so you can pick it up once you realize we've started that. Let's pray together. God, we are gathered once again in this place of worship as people of peace and hope. As people learning about your love and your forgiveness and your grace. And as people striving, seeking to understand your plan for us here on earth. And as people learning how to be faithful. Together we are the church. And together we join to pray as one voice. This morning we pray for those in our congregation dealing with illnesses or for other reasons are unable to join us for worship. We give you thanks for each of their lives. May they feel your presence in a very special way this morning. We pray this morning for those grieving the loss of loved ones, learning to live with the space left behind. More than ever, we pray for peace. And we ask the question, what else is possible? We have been inundated with images of the opposite of that. We pray for strong leaders to forge a path towards peace, even though right now it feels impossible. We pray for us to be willing to do what we are able to do towards peace in our own seemingly very small ways. As we live our lives, as we work at jobs, as we connect to those around us, we ask for a deeper understanding of your love and how we should respond to one another, that we might be lights of hope and joy to others who struggle. God, for those who are tired and for those whose minds are weary, we ask for renewed strength and healing and hope. May we truly be Easter people. Holy One, we seek you while you may be found. We call upon you while you are near. Have mercy on us, O God, for our thoughts are not your thoughts, and our ways are not your ways. Forgive us for living with fear. Help us live out compassion. As we walk with Christ on this Lenten journey, let us see your way more clearly and follow your path more faithfully.
Let us stand and sing, We Will Follow, number 40 in the Purple Book. Number 40 in the Purple Book, we'll sing it twice, the second time without instruments.
and hopefully that works. I did forget something that wasn't written on my little list to share, and my wife, when I got back, said, you should remember that. Before we moved to Swift Current, we pastored for 17 years in Saskatchewan. Pastored in Weyburn, kind of an internship, unpaid position. We were a short 6-month interim position in Siemens. Then we spent 5 years in Leask, a wonderful little church, nice little community, until it closed. And then we spent 9 years in Melville. And we were there for 9 years, and then felt God was leading us elsewhere. And actually, one of my friends that I went to school with went to Melville when we left, and he's still there. So it's kind of neat to have that connection still with the church there. Well, you know, as we went through the different aspects of the service this morning, I thought, you know, God does work, doesn't he, in the midst of everything. The message that I have prepared, nobody really knew in advance what it was, and yet the aspects of the sermon and the songs and the thoughts are just going to flow with what I felt led to share this morning. You know, when I was young, my world basically revolved around my community. My school, my sports, the band I was in, my church, my youth group were very important, my friends and family. It seemed like everything we needed were kind of in our hometown of Kenora, Ontario. It's just 2.5 hours east of Winnipeg on the number one. We would get to Winnipeg once in a while, and that was a big deal because it was a big city. We would go for specialist doctor's appointments. We would go for concerts. We'd go pick up a hockey game now and again. As far as the rest of the world, I would watch the Olympics every couple of years, the winter and then the summer. That was a big deal. And the 6 o'clock news was kind of the window to the world. But realistically, my world was kind of my hometown. My world was fairly predictable. It was fairly safe. It was secure. It was fairly comfortable. We live in a different world, don't we? We live in a world that has completely embraced globalism. It seems that multinational corporations dictate what we want. They dictate what we can get and how much we're going to pay for it. The internet and the social media have rapidly expanded. All of the borders and boundaries that we have known have just been exploded. And they show no sign of slowing down. The amount of information that is available to us is staggering. In fact, it's just plain overwhelming. Because there's so much, and not much of it can really be trusted. Events on the other side of the world are played out right in front of us, almost seconds after they occur. And they're talked about and dissected to death until we're so tired of them, we just wait for the next sensational story. We live in a world where a person can make $43,333,000 and $333 to pitch in 30 baseball games. And yet children are dying every day from hunger. Issues like climate change, the COVID pandemic, and the invasion of Ukraine are not just localized events, but affect the entire world. And while in some ways our world seems smaller, I think the reality is that sometimes we can tend to lose our place in the midst of it all. Everything is so vast. It's so complicated and intertwined, and it's beyond our ability to control, never mind understand. And we can easily at times tend to feel small, insignificant, and maybe at times not really needed, while everything speeds by at a dizzying pace. In the midst of all of this, we have our Lenten season. It's a time that we need to slow down. It's a time that we're reminded of who we are and whose we are. It's a time to examine our lives and to give thanks for what we have, to give thanks for and to the one who made a difference in our lives, the one who gives our lives meaning, purpose, and mission. The one who loved us so much that he gave his life for us. I want to play a little exercise with you. Anybody know who the Chancellor of Germany is? You do know? Okay, there's 3 of you who know who the Chancellor of Germany is. Anybody know who won the last World Cup of soccer? Nobody knows that. Can you name 5 Nobel Peace Prize winners from last year? Likely not. Here's an even better one. Who won the Academy Award last time, whenever it was, for the best actor and best actress? Really doesn't matter, does it? Now here's another couple of set of questions. Can you remember a teacher who made a difference in your life? Can you name 3 friends? And you don't have to name them out loud, but can you name 3 friends if you close your eyes and think who helped you through difficult times? Probably a lot more than 3. Can you remember a couple of people who taught you worthwhile life lessons? By their words, by their examples. And I bet all of us can name more than a few people who made us feel appreciated and special by a kind word or deed. Or we can name somebody who's our hero because they inspired us in our life. You know, the people that make a difference in our life are not always the ones with the most money, the most credentials, the most influence, the most power, or the highest in the social systems that we find in our world. They're the ones who, just by a simple deed, by a simple word, a kind gesture, make a difference in our life. And sometimes they might not even be aware of how important that was in our lives. I want to remind all of us this morning that we can make a difference. And if you have the sermon outline, you'll notice it's "You Can Make a Difference." And I want to encourage you with that this morning. You can make a difference. When the world seems so big and the events seem so far and so huge and so overwhelming, we sometimes forget that we can make a difference right where we are. And that's really what we're called to do. We can't influence the war in Ukraine. We can't feed all the kids in this world who need food. But we can make a difference right here where we are. There is a poem written by James W. Foley. And I'm going to read 4 of the 6 verses that he has in this poem. And it's called "Drop a Pebble in the Water." Drop a pebble in the water, just a splash, and it is gone. But there's 50 ripples circling on and on and on, spreading from the center, flowing on out to the sea. And there is no way of telling where the end is going to be. Drop a pebble in the water, in a minute you'll forget. But there's little waves of flowing, and there's ripples circling yet. And those little waves of flowing to a great big wave have grown. You've disturbed a mighty river just by dropping in a stone. I'm going to skip the 2 verses that are very negative, about negative words and what negative deeds can do in our lives, because I want to encourage us this morning. He says, "Drop a word of cheer and kindness, just a flash and it is gone. But there's 50 ripples circling on and on and on, bearing hope and joy and comfort on each splashing, dashing wave, till you wouldn't believe the volume of the one kind word you gave." Drop a word of cheer and kindness, in a moment you'll forget, but there's gladness still a swelling, and there's joy circling yet. And when you've rolled a wave of comfort, whose sweet music can be heard over miles and miles of water, just by dropping one kind word. During this time of Lent, we remember that Christ made a difference for us. We can read about it in the Word of how he left his place in heaven, came to this earth, and gave his life for us. And I want to remind you this morning that because Christ made the difference for us, we can make a difference in others' lives. So there's some things that we're going to look at this morning, and I'm probably not going to tell you anything you haven't heard before. I likely won't say anything very profound. But what I want to do today is to try, as the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 10, verse 24, to spur you on to love and good deeds. Because that's really what we do for one another. We're to spur one another on to love and good deeds. We can make a difference in others' lives. So number one, we need to show love to others. We need to show love to others. Got so many verses here. There we go. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19 says this. I'm going to start actually at verse 14 because it's the middle of a prayer. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its names. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That love of God, Paul says, I want you to understand it. Paul basically says that, you know, you're never really going to fully understand this love. John says that God's love is lavished on us. And that word lavished means that there's just so much love. It's even more than we could ever contain or understand. But he lavishes that love on us. And I believe that love is, it fills us to overflowing. It's more than we can understand or more than we can contain, because it is supposed to leave us and pour out into the lives of people around us. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, Paul says, live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So because of what Christ did, because he loved us, that love is to flow from our lives into other people. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, Paul says this, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. You know, this kind of takes the pressure off, doesn't it? Because basically Paul's saying, the love that is to overflow from you, it's given to you by God. It's not something that we have to conjure up. It's not something that we make up. It's not something that we're forced to find somewhere. It's simply ours because Christ lives in us, because God loves us and demonstrated his love for us through Jesus Christ. What's the great commandment? Love God. And what's the second part? Love your neighbors. Pretty simple, isn't it? And yet not always the easiest thing to do. Jesus says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And that sets a pretty high bar, doesn't it? We're told that we're to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're told we're to love our neighbors. We're even told that we're to love our enemies. Well, I can't do that on my own, can I? That's where God's love comes in. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, we're told to love each other deeply. It talks about a depth of relationship that we have with one another. He says in 1 Peter 1:22 that you're to have a sincere love for your brothers, to love one another deeply from the heart. Again, it's not something that we have to force ourselves to do. It's just a matter of simply letting the love of God fill us till it overflows and flows into the lives of people around us. Jesus reminded his disciples that if you love one another, people are going to know that you're my disciples. People are going to know whose we are when we demonstrate that love. Well, natural outflow of that love is to look to the interest of others. Number two on that list there, look to the interest of others. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, we're told that each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. A demonstration of love is when we can look at other people and take interest in what they're doing. We mourn with them when they mourn. We rejoice with them when they have joy in their life. And we're with them in all those times in between. Now, we can't do that with everybody we know to the same extent that we can with our family and those closest to us. But we're to allow that love to flow out of us and look to their interests. I believe that each day, if our prayer is, God, bring me across somebody who needs a hand. Bring me across somebody who needs a touch of your love, that God will provide that opportunity. We really don't have to look very far in our community to see that there are people that need a hand, to see that there are people that need God's touch, that to see people that need his love. And it's sometimes in very simple ways, very simple things that we can do. We're told in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, that we're to let our light shine before men so that they might see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. That means there are going to be things that we're going to do publicly. That means there's things that we're going to do, and it'll touch people's lives. But to do that, we kind of need to know who they are and what they're going through and what needs they have. It's going to take time and energy and effort to look to the interests of others. It can't always be kind of a superficial, hi, how you doing? Have a great day. It may mean just listening, providing a listening ear. It may mean taking a pot of soup, as you're doing this morning. There's all kinds of things, and God will bring those opportunities. We just need to look to the interest of others, recognize what they're going through in their life, and say, God, how can I help them? In Matthew chapter 25, we have that great story, that great parable. And Jesus says, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, and I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. The point of that story is that when we reach out in love and care and compassion and look to the interests of others, Jesus was saying, if you're doing it for them, you're doing it for me. So look to the interest of others and notice what they're doing and see where you can help. Again, it's not something that we do on our own. It's not something that we have to conjure up within ourselves or force ourselves to do, because if God's love is filling us, we're going to notice others and see them through his eyes. And number three on our list there is we're going to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit to others. The fruit of the Spirit, you know, there is so much negative in our world. There's just negative all around us, isn't there? I mean, you just look at the internet. Look at these kids. I see these kids at school, and their day is just devastated because somebody says something stupid on the internet. Or not enough people are noticing their posts. We have kids committing suicide. We have kids depressed. There's so much negative out there. I mean, there's just negative all around us in the world. One of the neat things about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, Paul says against such things there is no law. You know, there's a couple thoughts there about there is no law, because he's been talking about the law and the Holy Spirit. You know, we've been set free from the Old Testament law, and the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. And in all of these things, there's really no law against all these good things, right? Nobody's going to tell you to stop being kind. Nobody's going to tell you to stop being gentle and to be good and to be to show kindness to others. Nobody's going to say, you can't do that. Matthew 3:8 says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. In John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus says, I chose you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, thankfulness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things, and our world needs more of it. It needs more joy. It needs more patience. It needs peace, especially in Ukraine and those areas of the world. So we can exhibit fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, to other people. And that will make a difference in their lives. In everyday, simple ways. Well, number four on our list this morning, because Christ was the difference for you, you can make a difference in other lives, so use your gifts to serve others. Use your gifts to serve others. Seem to have lost a couple bookmarks. There we go. Romans 12, beginning at verse 4. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of his one body, and each of us has a different work to do. And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. Christ has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out when you have faith that God is speaking through you. If your gift is that of serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, do a good job of teaching. If your gift is to encourage others, do it. If you have money, share it generously. If God has given you a leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. All of us have different giftings and abilities. All of us have those gifts of the Spirit that God places within us, sometimes for certain times and seasons, for certain situations. And God has a purpose and a mission for each one of us. All of you that are gathered here are part of this family, this church family. And each of you has a place. And if you weren't here, there'd be something missing. I firmly believe that whatever task God gives a local body of believers, they can complete it with what God has given them. There are some times when maybe a church grows and they have more finances or more resources, and I think their mission changes. But we always have what we need to do what God has called us to do in our families, in our church, and in our community. And there is something powerful about using our gifts to serve others. There's something powerful about simply reaching out in love and care and compassion and seeking to be a hand of love, a voice of care, a presence of compassion and concern. You know, there's a powerful truth that we find in 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse 10 of chapter 4 of 1 Peter, God has given gifts to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. Another translation speaks about that God's grace is ministered through you. And that truth transformed my life quite a few years back. We're told that God gives us everything we need for living godly lives. Peter talks about that a little earlier. But then he says that when you use your gifts to touch the lives of other people, it is actually God's grace flowing through you into their lives. And that's powerful to me. I mean, God's grace enables our sins to be forgiven. God's grace enables us to walk and live as his children. And the thought that God's grace can flow through me in what I do and can flow through each of you as you use your gifts to serve others, that's powerful. That's amazing to me. That God uses us to enable his grace to touch the lives of his created people. That's amazing. And that just fills me with delight and joy. And I trust that that'll encourage you to maybe see your giftings and your ability to serve others in a new light. That you are a faithful minister of God's grace when you use your gifts to touch the lives of others, when you serve them. Well, as we use our gifts to serve others, another important thing that we need to do is encourage others. Number 5 on your list this morning. And I see time is very quickly flowing by. To encourage others, I'm going to be speaking at Eastside next week. And this bit about encouraging others is going to be a very major part of my message. Because it is so powerful. You know, we have a lot of people out there who just don't feel very important. We have a lot of people that feel small and insignificant. We have a lot of people that are caught up in a lot of addictions, and they're caught up in a lot of struggles and life events beyond their control. And there's people out there, maybe there's even people here this morning, and sometimes we just don't know where to turn. And we were just dying for somebody to come alongside and just encourage us. Just dying for that kind word. And that person that says, I'm with you. That I'll just walk with you through this. That God loves you and I love you, and you know what? I'm going to walk you through. Just an encouraging word to lift one another up. Just to provide a bit of brightness in maybe a situation that is dark. And sometimes that little spark of light will just encourage somebody to persevere and to continue on. And sometimes we may not even know how important it is. But we need to encourage one another. Hebrews chapter 10. There it is. I love the terminology here. Think of ways to encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds. In the Message, the writer says it this way: let us see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. We just need to lift one another up. We just need to see those people around us that just need that spark of light, that spark of joy, that spark of somebody showing an interest, and encourage them. In my message next week, I'm going to be speaking on Matthew chapter 6, and it talks about the fact that we're not to do our good deeds and our worship to God to be seen by others. And I was reminded by a reading this week that just we are created to need to be noticed. We need to be noticed. We need to know that others appreciate us and love us and care for us and see us. That's why God made more than one of us, right? We need one another. We need to be seen. We need to be heard. And sometimes we're tempted to do our acts of worship to God to be noticed by others. And my point in that is that, you know, if we are as a church encouraging one another the way that we need to be, then nobody will need to do stuff to be noticed, because we are noticing what they're doing without them having to seek it out. To me, that's just an important part of being a body of believers, to encourage one another. I'm going to very quickly go through these last two because I see time is quickly flying. We need to pray for one another. I think that just kind of goes, how many times this morning did we hear mentioned that we're praying, right? That people were praying for other people. As God's people, we need to pray. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Powerful and effective. Prayer. You know, there's some times when I know people are going through something and I simply don't know how to pray, but I just pray for them. I just pray God's strength, God's care, God's compassion, God's presence. You know, if you really don't know what to pray, just read the Bible. I mean, praying the Bible for people is so amazing, right? There's so many things in the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's prayer for the people that he was writing to. And there's times he would say, I'm praying that you would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. He says, I pray that you would know God better. I pray that you would experience his power. I pray that you would know his love better. I pray that you would know how much he values you. Pretty easy to read the Psalms. And all of so many things in the Psalms that we could just pray for people. Prayer changes things. I think the most important thing prayer changes is me. And then my prayers on behalf of other people rising up to God can change their lives as well. And sometimes a simple I'm praying for you and a short 2-minute prayer on the phone can make a huge difference in somebody's life. So remember to pray for others. And last but not least, you can make a difference by testifying about our Lord to others. You know, we do that when we gather together. Sometimes we share testimonies of what God has done in our lives. In Ephesians chapter 5, we're told to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Share what God's doing in your life with other people. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, we're told to, in our hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. You know, in our world today, we sometimes find, or we think, that it's not too popular. Maybe it isn't the right thing to do at times to talk about our faith to others. And I agree, there are certain times we got to make sure we don't hold our Bible up as a club and hit people over the head with it. Peter says that we're to share our story with gentleness and respect. I've found that when you listen to other people and you hear their story, they're pretty inclined to want to hear your story as well. And there's times we go through things in our lives and our faith sustains us, and others are going to be interested in that. They're going to take notice when we encounter things, and the fact that we know Christ makes a difference in our lives. And there's times we're going to have opportunity to share that with others as we share our stories with them. So I want to encourage you this morning that you can make a difference. In the midst of all the events going on in this world, you can make a difference tomorrow, today. You can make a difference in the lives of your neighbors and your family and your co-workers and your church family. Because Christ was the difference for us, we can make a difference in others' lives. So let's remember to show love to others. Let's remember to look to the interest of others, to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, to use our gifts to serve all around us, to encourage each other, to pray for each other, and to testify about our Lord. I want to read another poem in closing. It's called "It Only Takes a Moment." It only takes a moment to reach out to be a friend, but to the one who needs you, the memory never ends. A simple act of kindness to the person you don't know may plant a seed of friendship that for them will always grow. We sometimes lose perspective of the difference we can make when we care more of our giving and care less of what we take. So remember that your actions may help change a life someday, and always think about the person that you'll meet along your way. For it only takes a moment to reach out to be a friend, but to the one who needs you, the memory never ends.
Thank you, John. Joyfully we came together at the banquet of our Lord, and you can't eat everything, but boy, we sure had a feast today. The next song is, it's 57 in the purple book. Go, my friends, in grace. I forgot to explain the last verse, because it's always not fun to end the song in a bad way. Look at stanza 4. First line, second line. There isn't one on the third line. So in stanza 4, after you finish singing the second line, you have to go to the bottom line with a little bit of Latin there, which means blessed be God. Okay, I got that ready. Go.
from this time and place into whatever awaits. May you follow God's way of compassion. May the embrace of Jesus ease your fears and encourage you to care for others. As you go, know that our God of the wilderness remains with you on the way. Go in peace.
Number 430 in our blue book, God be with you. Be with you till we meet again. Let us sing, send God's blessing to each other and receive it from each other as well. Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.